May 31st, 1990, totally rocked. Welcome to This Show Rocks. This show totally rocks. I'm doing a bit of a different show again this week, more of a documentary style. I was thinking about the last week's show and how my folks knew the first gig that they'd seen and their experiences when they discovered live music and music in general. So I was thinking about when I discovered live music, and that was it. Fugazi, a Blueprint, May 1st, 1990. Up to that point, I suppose I had I listened to punk. I listened to a lot of punk. I was listening to DRI and Exploded and all sorts of super fast stuff while I was skateboarding. But it was really when I saw Fugazi that I realized when that kicks in, I realized at that very moment that music was all about being played live. So I saw that gig on the Thursday. I saw this gig on a Saturday. My first local gig. Which is what tonight's show is going to be basically about, the kind of local music that I discovered in the early 90s in Oregon when I was growing up. Some great scenes, some great venues, some great bands. This may have been one of them. They were called Sweaty Nipples, which piqued my interest as an 18-year-old boy. They had two drummers, two guitar players, flamethrowers. They had strippers for a while, the whole thing. And all the songs were about getting drunk and getting laid. So what wasn't to love about it, except for the fact that it was funk metal? This is Sweaty Nipples with What's Your Function? Very silly, I will admit, but it got me on the right road, the road to live music. And it got me into downtown Portland because I had grown up in the suburbs. The kind of skateboarding we were doing then was, ramps and stuff around schoolyards and stuff. So I didn't see any reason to go into Portland, into downtown. But that all changed after those two gigs. And I ended up, me and my mate Jeff, found this place called the UFO Cafe, which quickly turned into the X-Ray Cafe. I'll link there's a great documentary on it. I'll link it to this show, but it was a hotbed of weirdness and art and music, and it was all ages, which is very important because I was only 18 and I couldn't drink yet for another few years. So an all ages venue in the bad part of town, the homeless part of town. Portland actually has one of those, if you can believe it. Was a godsend, and this was one of the first bands that I found, and I actually, the first gig I ever played in the first band I was ever in was with these guys. They were legends. They were an absolutely marvelous live band. Hasn't translated as well to recorded material, but they were stunning. stunning. This is completely grocery, let's find out. a band I only saw at the X-Ray Cafe. I don't remember seeing them anywhere else. Sugar Boom, who were very strange to me. I mean, they were mods and they were playing Rickenbackers, and I'd never seen either one, being a suburban skater boy. But they were great. And there was a lot of melodic stuff going on, and there's actually a lot of women-fronted bands as well, which it was another thing that kind of belied the fact that it was an art scene. It was creativity, and for the early 90s, it was fairly weird. But I do remember M99, fronted by Heidi Hellbinder. This is Medicine. We'll be right back. All right, a bit of Tao Jones there from my tape collection. But yeah, the X-Ray Cafe was great. I mean, it was a real hotbed of the whole music scene, the local music scene anyways. And Ben and Trace that ran it were deadly. Trace went on to... Trace Shannon opened Voodoo Donuts and also ran for mayor a few times in a gold lamé suit, which was stunning. But that's where we were when the whole grunge thing kicked off, and everyone was kind of looking to Portland to see what we were up to. Was there another Nirvana? Was there another Soundgarden? To a lesser extent, was there another Mudhoney? And there wasn't. We weren't really ready to go. Or we were ready to go, but we weren't ready to go for that. But Nirvana did come, and Mudhoney did come on October 29th, 1991, in the Fox Theater. I was lucky enough to be there. It was a stunning gig. Mudhoney blew Nirvana off the stage. But there was a bit of local support in the form of Sprinkler, who were great. One of the unsung, when I was doing a bit of research for this week's show, just trying to jog my memory, because it's been a few years, I read a blog about a guy that just thinks these guys are the great lost unsung heroes of the Portland or the Northwest scene. Choose for yourself. This is Sprinkler with Karen Black.
check mailed in the stone and clay of 90 years of day by day. Was my street same? An image of the spark that stirs within them.
I said that Portland wasn't really ready, but I suppose they were. That was a bit of Pond, who did play the X-Ray Cafe and did play with on my first gig, completely grocery. I think we were called Little Vera or something ridiculous. And Pond, and it was deadly. And they went on to record a couple albums for Sub Pop, and I think one for Sony as well. But I'm going to keep... this is This Show Rocks. This is Thursday night. This is Radioactive International. And I'm going to keep it personal. Because that's what I know. So in 94, I did move down to Eugene, Oregon, to go to university. And there was a bit of a music scene going down there. It was a bit more... It was fairly collegey. It was a bit more smarter than now. But Jolly Mon were one of the great bands. Greg Eklund, the drummer, went on to be in one of my least favorite Portland bands, with Art Alexakis. I won't mention any names. But Jolly Mon were great. This is Off Sailing. This is The Machine. We'll be right back. All right, a bit of a floater. They're a bit of an institution. I was in a great band called Mandelchair, which was a weird name, and I was in a band with Orion and Darwin and Todd, so a bunch of weird names. We played a lot with Floater in a bar called John Henry's, which was owned by Bruce from an old LA band called the Detonators, who I believe used to wear a toilet seat as part of his stage get up. He was deaf as a post, though. The worst sound man in the world. We had lovely, deadly gigs, but I was 21 and everyone else in the band was about 19 or 18. And it was a pain in the ass. They'd have to sit in the back. They couldn't drink. They couldn't do nothing. They just had to sit in the back and wait for us to go on. But there were a few other bands. I will finish up the Eugene segment with a band called Buckhorn. There was a music school. These guys were definitely in it. But as far as live bands go, you couldn't beat these guys. The Bad Cougar. Living down in Eugene, I was still coming up to Portland, and I could kind of see how the music scene was going. A lot more bands weren't skipping Portland anymore, because Portland was a backwater. People skipped it even though it was on the freeway. But that kind of changed around 95-96. Hazel were big, Heat Miser were big, 30-06 was coming around, Gern Blanston was coming around, the whole Cavity Search thing was going on. The Candy Ass Records thing was going on. You had Sleater Kinney starting up and all that. So it was all kind of kicking off. And I was still down in university. And there were a few bands that actually did come while I was down there. One of them was, of course, Hazel, who went on to put out some great albums. Great live band. Three-piece with a fourth member who just climbed up on a really rickety ladder and bounced up there on one leg, and he was about 30 years older than everyone else in the crowd, so it was deadly. This is Shiva off Toreador of Love.
She goes down, says I ain't got no time, and she
tried a bit of Heat Miser with Get Lucky off Cop and Speeder there. But I suppose by the time I moved back to Portland after I finished university, I was not only was I 21, but all my mates were 21 as well, which was handy. It was really hard to get the gigs if you weren't 21 or if your mates weren't 21, because there is absolutely no getting into those gigs. But by the time I moved back to Portland, I was a bit older, and the guitars had gotten bigger, they're getting more distorted, they're getting louder, and I was able to go to Satyricon, probably the best punk venue on the West Coast. It's right up there with CBGB's as far as history and all that. I saw some great gigs, but I did see, I saw these guys. I actually saw these guys in John Henry's as well. Dean, what a drummer. There's a bit of Gern Blanston. All the tracks are unnamed, so this is track number one.
The average age for men in the Bronze Age was 18. In the Roman era, 22. Heaven must have been beautiful then. Today it must look dreadful.
We'll be right back.
All right, one of the biggest sounds I think I've ever heard out of a three-piece. That was a bit of 30-06 off of Bozo Zoku. Great band, great album. Poor Sean Roberts, but that's what I came back to, and they were fantastic. That's what I came back to after university. And they did inspire me. They were great. But that's all the time we have. This is the show Rocks. My name is Derek. I'm here every Thursday night, but I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. It is by no means exhaustive. I will put as much information as I can onto the site. So if you're interested in anything, if you want to know any more of the history of any of the bands or the scenes or anything like that, I'll try to stick that up. It was a very interesting time. There was some great music. It was very independent. Even that album, I think, was on Candy S, and that was a very independent label, you know. So fair play to all the lads, but you cannot play a Portland show from the 90s without playing a bit of Hitting Birth. They were legends among men. Daniel Riddle and David Parks and all of them, they used to play. One guy played a shopping trolley. But anyways, until next week, this has been the show Rocks. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you later.